Becky, for that woman listening right now that is stressed out and discouraged, what's one small thing that she can do today to find joy?
You know, this is something women forget to do, and that is to ask themselves this little question: what do I need right now? They ask everybody else, but they forget to ask themselves.
So the question is, what do I need
right now? Hmm.
Well, that's Becky Johnson, and you'll hear more from her and her daughter Rachel Randolph on today's Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller, and you'll hear as well about finding joy and peace in the midst of endless demands that so many women struggle with just by making some small changes.
John, life is so busy for everybody today, but I think women particularly have an extra dose of that busyness, if I could say it that way. They have so many demands and expectations on their time, and I see it in Jean. I mean, I know what she's doing with homeroom mom and keeping the house as organized as she can and all the stuff that she's got to do. They are being crushed by the pressures in modern culture. Mm-hmm. The expectations to excel professionally, have the home organized, create Pinterest-perfect birthday parties for their children, have a strong and intimate relationship with their husband, and don't forget God.
Right.
Got to, you know, have some time for devotions. Be that good friend that all their girlfriends need and still have time to make healthy meals for the family and to work out to stay
I'm
in shape.
I'm getting pretty tired already.
I know.
I'm not
and
even
that's
a woman.
That's just, yeah. That's
I mean,
just
that,
the top
just
of the
a
list.
A lot of stuff.
So if you're in that space today and you feel tired and burned out by trying to do it all, which I think, again, most women, they're right in that spot. Hmm. We want to come alongside you and give you some hope and encouragement.
And as I mentioned, our guests are Becky Johnson and Rachel Randolph. They're both writers, speakers, bloggers, and together they've written a couple of books, including Nourished, A Search for Health, Happiness, and A Full Night's Sleep.
I like the last one particularly. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Now, you're mom and daughter, right?
We are.
So this
we
has
are.
A little intergenerational feel to it because, Rachel, you're not just the daughter. I mean, you're about to have a daughter, aren't you?
Exactly. And I wrote my first book with my mom, and my mom actually wrote her first book with her mom.
So oh, this wow. I didn't realize yeah. that. That's
And my
that's
aunt
fun.
My is 90, and she taught my mom to write. So it's And my sister is a published writer.
It's in your DNA.
It is.
Well, let me ask you, with all that collaboration, have you guys hit some spots where it kind of was difficult to work together?
Should I bounce that to you?
Work together really well. There are times when our personalities, and we may get into this a little later, have clashed a bit because I like order and mom is an out-of-the-box thinker. So like the outline of this book, I think, changed about 14 times. And
and you were able to roll with that? Well, I'm looking at
I
your
know
two
her
books.
Pretty well. So,
you yeah. brought your books here with your mm-hmm. notes, which most authors who come here do that. Yours is well organized with these nice tab stickers, yeah, and they're all in color.
Office supply stickers mm-hmm. things.
Yeah. Right. And then you're, I'm afraid, yeah. you know,
it looks
Becky,
like it's been rained on.
Yours are, yeah. you got like
Probably
all
has been. The cat chewed on the
like
edges.
Bent stickies that have little notes on them. So I could see it right
it
here.
It shows mm-hmm. effort.
Right at the table. In fact, Rachel, you had an experience with your oldest son. I think he was about 1 year old when you were off to a mops thing. What happened?
Right. Well, I hadn't been alone for a year. I was a stay-at-home mom, and he was with me constantly. And so I did not want to go to this mops retreat, but I committed, you know, several months before thinking, he'll be one, I'll be ready, he'll be ready. And when it came up to that time, I was like, I don't want to go. I can't leave him. And I cried all the way from my house in Forney to Grapevine, where the convention was. And when I got there, I just started realizing little things that I had been missing. I didn't even know for a year that I wasn't, you know, even little things like paying attention when I was putting on my mascara or looking up and around at the world to just see, you know, people walking by, and I was missing everything because I was so in tune to my son and what he needed
right.
that I wasn't taking any, not even a moment for myself to just relax and and like my mom said earlier, to ask myself, what do I need right now? And I felt like I met this other girl while I was there. And she was really relaxed. And she had time to look at her Bible and to just see the world go by. And she took her time to put her makeup on. And it was like I met an old friend. And I was like, I want to bring her back home. But how do I fit her into my life right now? It's like this old version of me that I remembered vaguely. I was like, I think I remember her. But that's just not my life anymore. I am with a child every day. And so I, you know, kind of what started this book was this idea of what can I do to bring some of that old version of me back into my life so I'm not completely losing who I am.
It's probably hard for some to connect with what you're saying. But so let me flesh that out a little bit. So, I mean, your head's down, changing diapers, feeding the child, changing more diapers. and you were just saying it so consumed you, you weren't yourself.
Right. But just having a weekend, it was two nights away to put some of those priorities and responsibilities aside and just remember who I was, and going to worship with other moms and just taking those moments to let the word of God sink in as I was listening without distraction or without worry about him crying in the church nursery, even.
Sure.
Just all those little things that in your daily life as a mom, especially of really young ones.
Did you ever call your mom, Becky, sitting right here, and say, you know what? This isn't working too well. I don't have any time.
I did. So we had a conversation. What I did when I came back from that is I got my son into a Mother's Day Out program. I realized that was one of the defining moments.
Kind of an aha moment.
I need some time to myself or I'm going to completely lose myself. And so I found a Mother's Day Out program that was 2 days a week. There were some people there that I knew and I trusted. And I started getting these pieces of this old version of me back that worked into my new life as a young mom. And so I talked with mom about one little change has made such a difference. Just this one small change. And so I'll let you pick up on that.
Yeah. You know, interesting, because Rachel and I are, well, the book talks about wanting a full night's sleep. For her, it was because she was being awakened by a little one. For me, I'm midlife and I'm waking up with hormones at this stage at 2 o'clock, not knowing why I'm awake. But one of the
Does that work for us too? I wake up at 2 o'clock.
And you go. Well, yeah, it's your hormones. Sorry, we're losing them, and we're losing them fast.
Okay.
So anyway, one of the things that's interesting with the writing this book together, both talking about the subject of being nourished, is that Rachel is at that young mom stage, and her type of stress is the drip, 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 nonstop of constantly caring for another little one. And her little boy is so chatty. I mean, really and truly, she does not have a moment's peace. And with me, it's midlife, but I was going through several more traumatic crises at the time. One of the things we realized that is that no matter whether the stress is drip, 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 or whether it is a major one, you cannot afford to put off self-care. In fact, it's in the moments of greatest stress that you need to take care of yourself more than any other time.
Well, you call it nourished. Give us a couple of those handles. What are some things that women need to really be aware of? Sleep is a good one.
Oh, yeah. Sleep is a great one. You know, the other thing we started with in this book, interestingly, was we debated it. We just started with surroundings because I write books with brain doctors. It's so funny. I write humor and then I write with these brain guys. And what I have learned is that your environment affects your inner thoughts. And so we decided, let's just start a chapter on getting your surroundings organized. Not completely, but at least start. And the main thing is to get one area that is yours. I call it an Eden spot. Something that is organized and clean and pretty and says something about you that you can relax in. And if you start there, then the other things begin to kind of fall into place a little bit more. All the ones that you mentioned at the beginning of the show, marriage, family, that's a good starting point.
Some women are good at organizing. Rachel, I think you have that aptitude. Becky, I'm sorry.
I know. Sorry.
And there's also another category, perfectionist. And my wife feels that she's in that category. And what that means really is you're so overwhelmed you don't get started. So closets can be really troubling. Drawers can be troubling. I mean, you just, you get overwhelmed, so you don't get going because you can't make it perfect. It's too big a job. Talk to that woman in a practical way. How can she, if she's feeling overwhelmed, What can she do to just get started?
Well, we talked about just first creating one nourishing space for yourself, even if it's a little corner in a room, or I have actually had a closet that I've decorated and made my own. Something that you just start with. Another idea is to set the timer for 5 minutes. Just see what you can get done in 5 minutes. And it's amazing how once you do get started, that the momentum goes. And I'm very, very ADD, so I need lots of bribes and lots of treats. And so another thing I do to make myself clean a room is that I will clean or organize and make really, really a beautiful shelf, maybe. Get that all just the way I want to. Well, then I can't stand, because the rest of the room is messy, I want to clean it
up. So it does work.
I
mean, you start with something small.
Yeah.
I mean, some people will say start with a drawer, start with a closet, and then let that spill over into the rest. And don't do everything in one day.
Right.
You know, take a lot of time. Mm. You know, just do something today.
Just do something. And I like surface cleaning, honestly, to start. If you're going to start the whole house, just get one room surface clean, because it can happen really fast. That gives you a lot of momentum. And then you can go back and tackle the drawer. You'll feel more like doing it if you're doing it in a room that looks surface clean.
Rachel, let me ask you, though, because I've seen Jean have to deal with this. Our boys are in those middle, the tweener years here. And she works frantically, and it seems to be a never-ending process. That's got to be a little demoralizing that you could, you know, you could get on top of it and get that drawer cleaned or get that closet cleaned or get that room cleaned, and then like 3 days later, it's a disaster.
True.
How do you stay up?
Well, my goal is to have my house be a real place where real people live, real kids live there. So during the day, it does get messy. But we have little routines that before nap time, which doesn't happen for us anymore, but when it did, before nap time, we would clean. Before bedtime, we would put things away. I think it's really important to have places for things to go. Kids will put their things away if you work with them long enough, but they need to know where it goes. And that's one thing I discovered with my son. He was leaving messes everywhere, but he really didn't know where to put them away. And then when I started designating, like, this is the box where we put our Legos, and this is the shelf where we put our trucks, then I could say, it's time to clean up. And he enjoyed the process of putting things back where they belonged.
Right. And it's good for your kids to see you got a system, and then they can participate in that system. I think that helps them to launch well.
Right.
Becky, you talk about 10 kind of triggers in the book. Mention some of those.
You mean like 10 stressors that stress women out? Well, one of them is the surroundings being out of order. Another one, I'm not going to tell all 10 because it would take too long, but I'm going to hit on the highlights. The other one that really stresses women out is their thoughts. Negative thoughts, thoughts that get stuck and go around and around in a circle. And because I have worked with brain guys, it's been very interesting on how to retrain those thoughts and how that goes really with the biblical thought of renewing your mind and think on these things and all the things scriptures talk about that. Marriage, our body image. Oh, that was a big one. It stresses women out more than you men would ever believe.
I know. I hear it and I feel
it.
Yeah. But it is a big issue,
we have a very
not just for
chapter on
women,
that.
But for girls.
Yeah.
It's huge. And the culture is screaming at women and girls to look a certain way and just present a certain way. And that's just so unhealthy.
And you know, even my age, you know, because it is a youthful culture, you're pressured to stay young and look young. And we have a chapter in the book where Rachel wrote me. She didn't do this for the book. She wrote me a little sweet letter after we had our pictures taken for the book, and I had critiqued myself really harshly. And in the letter, it was a very kind but very sweet plea for me to stop doing that, because she said, "Mom, I look like you, and everybody says that. And so when you criticize yourself, I think, well, should I be doing that?" And here's the thing. I thought, because, and she will tell you, I've always told her she was beautiful, lovely. She has a pretty good self-esteem. But because I didn't say that about myself, it still hurt her heart.
Hey, Rachel, let me pick up on that, because one of the things you talk about is, you know, the woman that picks up a book like this, it can be overwhelming. You want to change everything in a day because you're starving and you're desperate to find some help. You kind of experienced falling into that trap. How did you manage that? How did you get through knowing it will take some time.
Yeah, I am kind of, by personality, I want to get it all done. Like, I'm a go-getter.
You're organized.
I'm organized. I want to make a list, and I want to check everything off. But I realized when we started this book, I actually made a spreadsheet. No surprise.
You are organized.
I made a spreadsheet, and it had all my goals. And as every area that we listed, I had goals for what I wanted to achieve and started out, woke up, you know, this is going to start Monday. We're going to fix this, my life, and I'm going to have it all together. And then life got in the way. I got sick. My son got sick. And I had planned too much because I think most women can't take all of that on anyway, but I also had a 1-year-old at the time my life looks different than it used to. And I had to accept that even though I want to be a go-getter, I can't be. I have to take this one bite at a time. And so when my plan completely fell through, I was really discouraged. But I decided I need to just take this one bit at a time and slow down and accept that there are things I can change. There are things that may have to wait or may not need to change them at all.
Well, yeah. And I'm looking at you. I mean, you're about to have another little one, and
yes,
you have a little one.
Mm-hmm.
You're living in probably what demographers would call the most busiest time for a woman. When
no
you
thanks.
Have such little children mm-hmm. that, as you said earlier, Becky, it's drip, drip, drip. It's
mm-hmm.
constant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm amazed that you're already there looking at this and able to do what you're doing, living in that phase of your life. So speak to that woman who's right where you're at, who is feeling totally overwhelmed. She can't even think about doing a spreadsheet. I mean, spreadsheet? I'm just trying to get the laundry
it's a lot
going.
It's easier to do a spreadsheet
yeah.
than it is to actually do all the things on that spreadsheet.
So for you to be, you know, articulating this, she's already now feeling guilty mm-hmm. that you've got a little kid and you've got a little one on the way and you're able to get these concepts. I mean, it sounds like you should have 14 and 17-year-olds and you're at the end of the nest issue. So how do you get a handle on it in the middle of the chaos that you're currently living?
Well, start with one nourishing change. And for me personally, that was I wanted a writing career. I needed it financially, but I also needed it. I was realizing I needed to be doing something that kind of pulled me back into who I am. And before I had children, I worked for authors. And so this was a natural progression. And I wanted to try my hand at writing. So I made one change of getting my son into Mother's Day out. And that may not be the change for other women, but it's finding what is one thing that you can do today or in the next week that would help you just feel a little calmer. And sometimes you have to get creative because budgets get in the way. And
sure. But what's important there mm-hmm. is you notice that you were behaving differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a connection, too. You got to take a self-assessment about where you're at. You said you weren't looking up from your responsibilities.
Right.
And that one day out made you realize how little you were doing for yourself.
Right.
And so another mom may be in a different spot. She might be taking care of that area of the garden. But there might be something else
right.
that's breaking down. Is that your point?
Yes. And there's a chapter on creating schedules. And I posed some questions in there about what are your priorities? Like, a lot of times we're doing things because we think we need to. And then you look and you
I'd
go.
I'd say every time we're doing that.
And you look at what your schedule looks like right now. What are the things that you're doing? And are they actually, is it really a need? Or is that just something that you think that you need to be doing?
Or you can't say no.
What would happen if you said no?
Yeah.
And what would happen if you dropped that one thing that maybe you're just like, I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to be, you know, volunteering for church or whatever it is. But what would happen if I didn't do that? And how would I feel? And maybe what could I replace that with that would actually nourish myself, but maybe even others as well? Even more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's using your time wisely and not doing things because you're supposed to, but doing them because they're meeting the needs that are important for you in your life.
Well, we're talking about balance on today's Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. The book by our guest is called Nourished, A Search for Health, Happiness, and a Full Night's Sleep. The authors are Becky Johnson and Rachel Randolph, and you'll find details about that, a CD or download of this program and our app where you can go on and listen at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
We mentioned at the top that women are being pulled in so many directions, and I think they leaned in with us because is true for so many. Mm-hmm. How can they begin to look at their schedules? And you've talked a little about this, but again, help me with that jam-packed schedule. How do you manage all of it? How do you make the room? And, you know, guys, we can relate to this too. I'm sitting here thinking, I'd like to work out more.
Sure.
But, man, I'm going from 6 a.m., 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. on work-related stuff. And I, okay, so I hear people tell me you got to find margin. A lot of women are hearing that too and going, okay, how do we do it?
Where is the margin? One really, really easy thing that I got from a person who said that they paid like thousands of dollars to learn this, and I'm going to give it to you free of charge, is okay. to, especially entrepreneurs and women at home, divide your days into three kinds of days. Work day, stuff day, off day. So work day is where you get your work done. You just go focus. For me, it's writing. The other day is stuff day. That means everybody knows what that is, really. It's just getting your junk done, getting your errands, your bills paid, all those little things on one day, and then have a complete total day off. And for an ADD person like me, it really does help for me to just have one focus per day. And Rachel's taken that same concept and applied it to mothering a little bit differently, but still the same thing. You want to talk?
You don't really get off days. As a mom,
that's so funny. Where is that off?
You really don't, do you?
So I've called them kid days. And those are the days where I forget about the stuff and I forget about the work and we do something really fun, or I just let my child lead the play that day. And so he knows there's going to be a day this week where we do something really fun together. But even on work days, I'm still interrupted, but it helps me focus because your child's coming in and saying, I need this, and I can look away from my computer, answer his question, you know, get him rerouted, and then I can come back to focus on work rather than having a list that is all over the place.
Oh, that sounds organized. In fact, you talk about something called the stuffed pillow.
Right.
Or stuffing the pillow. Mm. I mean, all these great little triggers. What does that mean, stuffing the pillow?
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I have a perfect stuffed pillow.
No, I don't. Don't worry about it.
I need several pillows.
I'm being pregnant right now. I need about four or five pillows. But I like, you know, a pillow that's kind of fluffy, but not too fluffy. If it's really stiff, you're kind of sitting up in the middle of the night and you've got a crick in your neck. But if it's too flat, your head has no support. And so that's kind of how I like to think of my day. If I don't fill my day with very much stuffing, then I actually do have a little trouble sleeping at night. I don't feel like I was productive. I didn't finish anything. My day didn't have a focus. But if I put too much stuff into it, then I'm stressed out or like wired when I go to sleep at night. So we talk about how women need to know what their personality is, what they want to fill their day with. I kind of touched on this earlier, but the types of things that really make you fall asleep at night, feeling satisfied, feeling full, that's what you want to fill your day with. And so stuff your pillow or stuff your calendar with the things that fill you up and make you a good kind of tired at the end of the day.
And talking about balance.
Right.
I mean, it's really talking about balance. How do friendships impact us? And in particular, let's talk about women. How do they impact women? And what are some tips for making and deepening those relationships and keeping them healthy, because they can go south easily?
Well, you know, one of the things is, first of all, just how much we need friends. Oxytocin is one of the things that comes out of women getting together and talking. And
that's fun stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
Oxytocin.
You feel high as a kite afterwards in a very good way, a very good natural high, because you've been with women and you've shared these emotions, and God just meant us to do that. And so friendships are something, even my mother said, you know, always prioritize friendships. Make time for them. Mend them, tend them, take care of them, because you don't really know when you're going to need them and vice versa, when they're going to need you. And at my stage of life, like, one of my best friends is going through cancer right now, and she has realized her need of friendships probably more than ever. And right now, one of my best friends is taking care of Rachel's little boy outside over at the Odyssey thing. And so, you know, these friendships that you can call on at the last minute, and they just bring so much to our lives. There are nourishing friends, and there are toxic friends, and then there are friends that sort of you're giving to them. I think every woman needs at least one or two that are truly nourishing. Mm-hmm. And what I look for in a nourishing friend is someone who, you know how that conversation goes where you volley back and forth, nobody takes it completely over. And the other thing about a nourishing friendship is that they rejoice with you when you're happy and they are sad with you and they know how to commiserate when things are bad. Some people are good at one and not the other. Mm-hmm. A nourishing friend tends to be good at both of those things.
We've talked about a whole host of things, and I hope those that are feeling malnourished in this area, which I think is probably 90% of women today, with all the reasons that we've talked about, feeling those pressures, need an idea of how to get back on track. And I think what you've had to share is wonderful. Your book, Nourished, A Search for Health, Happiness, and A Full Night's Sleep. I love the title.
Thank
thanks for being with us, both
Thank
of you, Becky and Rachel.
Us.
Thank you, guys.
Well, it's been great to get to know both of you. And if you've been inspired by what our guests have shared today, get a copy of their book, Nourished. There are so many themes in there that we didn't get to touch on today. And getting more sleep is one of them. And developing more meaningful relationships and some very practical ideas about having more fun in your marriage. You'll find that book and a CD or download of this program at focusonthefamily.com/radio. And let me invite you to become a financial supporter of Focus on the Family. We want to come alongside and help you grow spiritually and to strengthen marriages, particularly marriages that aren't doing well, that are struggling. It seems that every week I'm hearing of another couple that really is going through a storm. Now, here at Focus, we're committed to helping share God's peace for those kinds of storms. And we do that through these radio programs and resources and counseling books and efforts like our National Institute of Marriage. Altogether, last year, we were able to help save 140,000 marriages. And with your support, we can continue to stand in the gap to help hurting marriages. And so let me encourage you to donate today, and do so generously, please, when you call 800-A-FAMILY, 800-232-6459. And right now, because of some special friends and their generous offer, your gift, your contribution to Focus on the Family today will be effectively doubled. They're matching dollar for dollar what you donate today. And in addition, we'll send a copy of Nourished, that book by our guests, Becky Johnson and Rachel Randolph, to you as our way of saying thanks for joining with us at this crucial time. Our program was provided by Focus on the Family. And on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for listening. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back tomorrow. We'll hear a special 4th of July message from Pastor Tommy Nelson, as we once again help your family thrive.